the unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth, the sum of matter, even 100,000 myriad calculus. Now we can see into it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Great Master Dogen taught, to study Buddhism is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by everything. Recently, I've been remembering back to my earliest days when I first encountered this way of training, when I first became a monk, those early months and early years. And one thing I've realized is, in some ways, how foreign the precepts were to me. I remember when I did my first Jukai, how much I didn't really get what the precepts were about. Even though I was quite sincere and I'd begun to, before I ever came to this way of training, I'd begun to make changes in my life, searching desperately for ways to make changes in my life, to try to be more upright, to live more in accordance with what somehow I knew was my real integrity of being. And at the same time, I remember very clearly how opaque the teaching of the precepts was to me. Now here's a funny thing that Reverend Master said in those early days. She said that in Rinzai Zen, that has this formal koan system, she said the highest level of koan study is actually the precepts. And I guess that it, at least in some cases, the masters actually give the precepts maybe even like one at a time to their disciples to study and to train with. I don't know really how that works. But the highest level of the koan is the precepts. And that makes sense to me now, looking back over these decades of my life as a Buddhist trainee, as a monk. It makes sense to me in a way I couldn't even imagine it making sense in the early years of my training. So what is it about the precepts? Of course, there's a list of precepts. You take the three refuges and the three pure precepts, and you have what are called the 10 great precepts. There are 16 precepts in our tradition. But as a kind of shorthand, we usually refer to the precepts in terms of the 10, what are called the 10 great precepts. The term Jukai, the 10 precepts meet, 10 precepts meeting. Ju is 10 in Japanese, Jukai. 10 precepts meeting, the retreat in which we renew our commitment to the precepts together with other people. But you know, you could express those precepts in different terms. The list could be a different list, somewhat different. It would still have to cover the same basic aspects of human behavior, human conduct, human intention. But the list can be different. On the surface, at least, it's not really very different from the Ten Commandments. Then there's this thing called perceptual truth. And more when I think of the precepts, I think in terms not of individual precepts so much as perceptual truth and what it means to take perceptual truth to heart. If I go back to that quotation from Great Master Dogen that I began this talk with, to study Buddhism is to study the self. Well, how do we study the self? We need a vantage point from which to view it. And we have really two main vantage points. One of them is meditation. In meditation, you get to see yourself unvarnished. You get to see your own mind just as it is at this moment. Everything slows down. You get to just spend some time with yourself. So there's many aspects within that of what it means to study the self. Then there's the vantage point of the precepts. What view does that give us of the self? Well, immediately it gives us a kind of grid, you might say, through which we can view our own conduct. And we quickly find that that grid is really the same grid as is provided by our own conscience. The precepts are a kind of externalization of our conscience. Aha! Our conscience. A kind of inner knowledge we have that comes right from the very core of our being. An inner knowledge about what is really good to do and what is not good to do. Everything that we do, all of our actions of body, speech, and mind are registering as we do them. And they come under review through meditation, through training in the precepts. And as they come into this review, we get an opportunity to see what our conscience was actually telling us at the time, and whether we paid attention to that or whether we did not. This all comes under the heading of study of the self. Notice he didn't say studying the wicked, bad, and nasty self. To study Buddhism is to study the self, to study oneself. It's not about wicked, bad, and nasty. It's not about good and wonderful and sublimely spiritual. It's just about getting acquainted with what actually is the case. Not some fanciful reconstruction, not some wishful thinking, but what actually is the case. What was the case, what is the case. The reality of our own lives, as if we were looking in a kind of spiritual mirror. Then what about forgetting the self? The reality of that mirror is that everything is transitory, fleeting, and fundamentally immaculate. He could have said, instead of forgetting the self, coming to experience, to know the true self, the Buddha nature, the eternal. Or he could have said, self-forgiveness. To study Buddhism is to study oneself. To study oneself brings us to self-forgiveness, to letting go of what we've been holding on to. In other words, a cleanup, a cleansing. And as that cleansing happens, the dissolving away of the seeming obstacles and the seeming fixed realities, which are really unrealities, of ego, expectation, insistence, delusion, ignorance. And this brings us to the point where we can be enlightened by everything that arises naturally in the course of our daily life. To convert that which is seemingly standing in the way allows the Buddha nature to help us naturally. And since everything is of the eternal, everything is of that original immaculacy, everything in our daily life is helping us. Everything that happens is for my good. I would like to say I have a lot more clarity about the precepts now than I had 50 years ago. The truth is, sometimes I raise the eyebrows of old Shakyamuni Buddha, and sometimes I do not. Sometimes there is that greater clarity, and sometimes there is not. There is never a time when we do not need the teaching and the practice of the precepts. Homage to all the Buddhas, homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds, homage to the scripture of great wisdom.